Hello, and welcome to this week's Next Sense Institute podcast. My name's Trudy Smith. I'm the manager of continuing professional education at the Next Sense Institute, and I'm your podcast host for today. We finished our series on advocacy, and so for this term, we're going to be looking at research and resources to support and accompany programs for people with sensory disability. And so we're starting with a fantastic program. I have my good friend and colleague, Nicola McDowell, with us. Welcome, Nicola. Could you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Thank you, Trudy. Lovely to be here. Really exciting to do a podcast. I've never done one before, so I'm very excited about this. So I'm Nicola McDowell. I'm a senior lecturer in the Institute of Education at Massey University in New Zealand. But my background is I've been working in the field of supporting children and young people who are blind and low vision since 2003, where I first trained as an orientation mobility specialist. I then trained as a teacher and worked as a resource teacher of vision. So I've been working in this field for a long time, and also have acquired visual impairment myself, acquired CVI after a brain injury when I was 16.
Right. Nicola, we're here to talk about the Austin assessment, which came out of the research you conducted. What was your initial interest in this work of CVI or cortical vision impairment?
We call it cerebral visual impairment, not cortical. I refer to it as cerebral visual impairment. So, as I said, I have CVI, but my journey was that I acquired it at the age of 16 in 1996, but didn't actually know I had CVI until I was at a conference, a SPIVI conference in 2013, where Professor Dutton was talking about supporting children with cerebral visual impairment. And at that point, my experience of CVI was cortical visual impairment in children who with the complex needs and wheelchairs, non-verbal, you know, a lot going on. From 2013, I then spent a time understanding my own vision and on a journey to enlightenment, I called it, like to try and understand how CVI impacted on me and what it meant in a day-to-day basis for me. Then about 2016, 2017, I was starting to put some of the new learnings. It took a long time, you know, it's a long time to learn about CVI. It's such a complex condition. 2016, 2017, I was starting to put some of my new learnings into practice with the children that I was working with as a resource teacher vision and also as an orientation mobility specialist. And one day I was just working with a wee boy, Austin, who was 8, who had cerebral palsy and a diagnosis of CVI. And I was doing an activity of matching cards and playing cards and a warm-up activity to math. And so what we were doing is we're working on addition to 8. And so I had on the table in front of him, I had these cards, 6, a 2, a 4 and a 4, a 5 and a 3, and asked him to put the ones together that made 8. He had great difficulty doing this. And I was really, really confused about that because I knew that he was cognitively able to add up to 8 and also that the cards were big enough for his lowered visual acuity. And as I sat back, I realized that his difficulty in matching the cards was due to the fact that he was having trouble seeing them, but it wasn't an acuity issue. It was based on his CVI, so his inability to see more than one or two things at a time. And at that point, I sort of sat back on it and I thought about it for a long time and thought, you know, whenever my vision assessments following my brain injury, you know, both clinical and from a functional vision perspective, they never really tested the right thing. They were testing my visual acuity or they were testing my fields, but they weren't actually assessing my ability, the brain's ability to process the visual information that I was seeing. And so what I decided is that I'd love to make a functional vision assessment tool that could be used in a situation where people could say, well, all right, we know this child potentially, there's something going on with their vision, or we know that they have CVI, but we want to understand it a lot more. So we can use this tool to help assess them. And I wanted to, it was really important to me that it was empowering and it made the child feel good doing it and that they didn't feel like they were a failure, because I had just experienced that so much over and over again. Like, it's really tough being in a clinical office or a clinical setting or even in a functional setting, knowing that you're failing the test over and over again, but you don't really understand why. So I wanted to make sure that children didn't have that sense of failure. I wanted them to feel good doing it and have fun, like, because the best way to see children's abilities is to see them at their best when they're having fun.
Of course, absolutely. And so I understand that you did a PhD to explore this further and ensure that tool was appropriate. Can you tell us about that work?
Yeah, well, so after I had this incident with this experience with Austin, I went home and I sent Professor Dutton an email, because at that point he still is a mentor to me in this field. And I explained what I'd done and I wrote this detailed email, and he came back to me almost instantly and said, "This is your PhD." And I wrote back and said, "No, it's not. I have a different idea for my PhD. I don't want to just do this." And over a series of emails and discussions, he convinced me that it was something that I could look into at my PhD. But I decided, I was doing thesis by publication, and so instead of doing one big research project, I was doing multiple little projects. I would add it in as one of the projects that I was doing. So it wasn't the sole focus of my PhD. I really wanted to look at empowerment and the role of empowering parents and children with CVI, and how that affected or impacted the support they received and their functioning and their ability. So I did look at the Austin assessment as part of my PhD. It was one of the research projects, and I started with a pilot study using playing cards. So I literally had a pack of playing cards. I worked out a research protocol that started with, you know, one level one with four cards, right up to level five with 12 cards. The difficulty was that the Austin assessment, as we then found, I found out from the research, is helping to identify the children that currently aren't being identified. So that makes doing research to see whether it's effective almost impossible. So we had a lot of problem solving, and a lot of creativity had to go into every stage of the research for the Austin assessment. And so what we did is I knew that neurodevelopmental conditions such as autism or ADHD, dyspraxia, dyslexia, auditory processing, they all have a degree of visual search issues, or they can have a degree of visual search issues. So instead of advertising for children that had diagnosed CVI, I advertised for children in my local region that had conditions that were known to have visual search issues. And I found 11 children aged between, I think it was about 5 and maybe 13, which was, you know, wasn't a big number, but it was a pilot study, so it was enough. And then I got 11 age and gender matched children. So for every child that I had on the in the research group, I got the same age and gender for the control group. And so I assessed these 22 children doing a process, an ABA design, where I assessed them three times with the Austin assessment. One was in a quiet classroom quiet area of the school, sorry, not the classroom, with no one around, you know, best possible, you know, environment for them to do it. And then the B one was done in a noisy classroom with the rest of the class doing their usual activities. So I did the assessment and I video recorded all of them, and then spent hours and hours watching the videos over and over again. And I could see the huge differences between how a child with typical vision did to these children that had been were doing it because they had potentially had a visual search issue. And it was a lot of statistical analysis on that research, and it came out that the children with potential visual issues took twice as long to do the Austin assessment at each level, and they were less accurate, and they also had a longer time to pick the first pair at each level than the children with typical vision. And what was really important about this research is that it came out as being statistically significant with a large effect size. So basically, we did a range of assessment, statistical analysis, including t-tests, and having something that's statistically significant with a large effect size is, you know, pretty much exactly what you want to come out of research. So yeah, so to have that result was pretty amazing.
Absolutely. So tell us about the Austin assessment. It's now turned into an app that, so please let us know more about it.
Yeah, so because of that research being so effective and you know, showing that it was a really great way of identifying the difference between children with typical vision and children with potentially CVI-related visual issues, I was lucky enough to get a grant from Massey Ventures, which is the commercialization arm of Massey University. And we used that to turn the Austin assessment into an iPad app or a digital app, because it was pretty clear that even though the playing cards could work and people could do them, you had to have a degree of sort of knowledge around CVI, or, you know, to know what you're looking for when you're assessing the children. So putting it into an iPad app meant that, you know, all that was taken, you know, out of your hands. The app was assessing all that you needed to assess. So the app was made, and it went through, the first version came out like literally the week before lockdown. So it was really, I was very excited to receive it, but then I couldn't assess any children with it. So as I've got funding, which has been quite hard to get, like as I've got little bits of funding, I've put more into the app, and then we developed it. We had the prototype, and then we created it specifically for research. We put a few things in there so I could validate it. So the next step once the app was made is that I wanted to validate it to make sure that it showed that it was effective as an assessment tool, or a screening tool, sorry, for CVI. So over the course of 3 years, I assessed 900 children, which was pretty big job. And it was, I got to the end of each year and was pretty tired at the end of each year and was able to reflect back and say, well, actually, it's been quite a lot of work. So the validation research was published in November last year. And while we were doing that research, we were constantly updating the Austin assessment and working with the company that designed it, or helped me develop it into an iPad app called Springload, who's a digital design company based here in Wellington in New Zealand. It's been an amazing journey. I've had to learn so many new skills. I'm an educator and academic, and then I've had to learn how to navigate the not-for-profit space, because we set up a charitable trust to run the Austin assessment. Also then, questions that that Springload would ask me, things like, what do we want to call the practice mode? Should we call it practice or should we call it training? Literally, we spent probably 2 months making that decision, and it turns out we made the wrong decision within the first week of it being launched. We worked out that people were confusing the word practice for thinking that they had to do that before they did the screening. So a lot of learning. I felt like there was just so many questions, so many things that needed answering every day. It almost felt like putting out fires all around, just trying to get it to the point of launching. But we launched in January, so excited about that. So there's two apps. There's the Austin Assessment for Families and Individuals. It's the Austin Assessment app. And that's aimed at parents or people who think they may have CVI, or people with CVI who want to use it. And they download the app from the App Store for $40 New Zealand, so whatever country you're in terms of the price of it, it is. And with that $40, they get five screenings. So there's a process that you work through, and that's exactly the same as what we did for the research. So the process that you go through, you do two rounds of the Austin assessment, and then it tells you whether your performance meets a threshold. And that was based on creating normative ranges of for children age 5 to 8, 9 to 12, and 13 to 18. So we know that, say, for instance, if a 5-year-old comes and do it and they are slower than what was their normative range to complete the whole assessment, for the 5 to 8-year-old age group, they meet a threshold. That threshold suggests that they need further assessment. It's not saying that they have CVI. It's definitely a screening tool. So that's if they meet a threshold, that just indicates that they need further assessment or to confirm what's actually going on. So the Austin assessment app, 5 screenings and 5 reports. So you get a report once you've done the Austin assessment that can then be downloaded, sent to whoever you'd like to send it to, if you'd just like to keep it yourself, sent to a classroom teacher, a optometrist or an ophthalmologist, and use whatever way that you want it. That's your report. You also get access to the game mode, which is where we encourage children to play the Austin assessment. We have different themes in there, including space and dinosaurs. I'm really excited. I'd love to be able to put what the children want in there. So in time, get some feedback from the kids. We want to put in what other themes they'd like in there. Then the Austin Assessment Pro app, which just means pro, just means professional. It doesn't mean that it's better than the other one. Actually, you don't get access to the game mode in the Pro app. The Austin Assessment Pro app is free to download from the App Store. So it's the Austin Assessment for Professionals. But once you've downloaded from the App Store, you then need to purchase screening packs, which we do online through a different platform. And that you can get a pack of screenings for 10 or up to 50, 100 or up to 500. And that just depends on what kind of organization you are, or what kind of professional you are, how you're going to use it. So professionals, I mean educators, rehabilitation specialists, researchers, clinicians, anyone that's going to use it to assess multiple children as opposed to just assessing it in a family situation. Were you going to ask? No,
I was just curious. I know some assessments really like people to do training or to come with qualifications before they run something like this with
That's the beauty of the Austin assessment. You don't need any specific vision training to do it. It's the app walks you through the process so easily. You don't have to know anything. It just does it all for you. There's instructions at every place. You can't do it wrong. It's very simple. That was the whole part of the design. Like the design you know, features were that it was fun, easy to use, easy to understand, and just, you know, meant to be empowering. So no professional, you don't need any training to do it. The professional app also gives you access to an online dashboard where the results from your screenings are synced to the dashboard. And that just means that you can see, so on your iPad, you can see the results, but also on the dashboard, you can see the results of all the children you've screened. And we've set this up very, really, really carefully and sort of thinking about different organizations and how they might use it. So for instance, you have a super admin or a team, a username and login, and that super admin can see everyone's assessments, but then they can invite team members. So you may have five team members. Those team members have their own username and login, but they're attached to the main organization, and they can only see their own screening. So they can't see everyone's screenings, but the super admin can see all five of those. So that's just a way of protecting privacy and protecting the children. We do only collect the children's name and age in terms of personal information, and you can put a pseudonym in there. You don't need to put their real name if you don't want to. The age is really important because that links to the threshold. So that's if it's the wrong age, then it's not going to connect to the right threshold, and the results will be won't be accurate for that child. We do anonymize that data as much as possible, just to make sure that, you know, we're really careful with the data storage and privacy, making sure that we meet the laws all around the world.
Sure. So having completed the Austen assessment, would you consider, if a student has been identified as clearly taking longer than their sighted peers, those sorts of things, would that construe a diagnosis, or does it come with advice on what to do if you get these scores?
Yeah, we're very, very clear on that. This is not a diagnosis. We try and say it multiple times because we want to, it can't possibly be a diagnosis because we can't control everything that's going on while the child does the assessment. We do encourage for it to be done in a quiet room with no glare on the screen, et cetera, but we can't control for that. So it's an indicator that there's something potentially going on with the child's vision, and that further assessment is suggested. You know, if it indicates that on the screen that further assessment is required, we know that it can be difficult to get that further assessment done, and some people are just not sure where to go for that. So we also provide the so what, now what information on the website. So there's an Austen Assessment website. It's just www.austenassessment.org. And we say there, we have the, this is what you should do if your result's positive. This is what if your result's negative, but you think it should be positive. So we have that kind of information. And it might be that actually, instead of getting a diagnosis, maybe the best thing for you to do is put some strategies into place. And if they make a difference and help the child, there's kind of your answer, and roll with that. I know for some families, for some people, it's really important to get that diagnosis. We do connect to a lot with the CVI Scotland website to provide, you know, further information on support and where to go to get that diagnosis, etc.
Right. And if you're looking back through old podcasts, you will find out a lot more about CVI Scotland. And we talked to Helen about that. It was a really good chat. Nicola, how can people learn more and access the assessment? Where can they find it and you?
Yeah, so austenassessment.org is the best place. So that's our website that we've developed while we're also developing the app. So it has information about the app. It has information about the Austen McDowell Foundation, which is the charitable trust that have set up to run the Austen Assessment. Has information about CVI, yeah, how to get the app. You can also find both the apps in the App Store by just searching Austen Assessment. So Austen Assessment app for families, Austen Assessment Pro for professional use. The dashboard where, if you're using it from a professional perspective, that you can sign up and create your account, that's also linked on the website. So the best place is the website. We do have social media pages, also Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. So do just search up Austen Assessment, and we do share information there. On the website, you can sign up to the newsletter. So I'm not sure how often the newsletters are going to go out. We've sort of been doing it once a month at this point, but just depends on what's coming up. So if you want to find out what's happening with the Austen Assessment, do sign up to that newsletter. But there's heaps of places on the website. If you just want to contact me at the info@austenassessment.org. email address, also if you want to sign up to the newsletter, also just information about the Austen Assessment.
Brilliant. And we will put that link in the show notes so that people can find you easily as well. Nicola, congratulations on this work. It has obviously been a labor both of love and professional interest, and we're grateful to it. And it's going to be such a useful resource. So congratulations on launch, and thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. Thank you, Trudy. Thanks for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Thanks everyone for listening in today, and we look forward to talking with you all again next week.